Good morning, my friends. This is Andy live in.
Andy is live
in Revelator, California with my love.
Oh, Hedia. It's not Andy and Hedia's live?
Oh, it could be.
You're still not.
There's different ways you can say it.
Yeah, you're still not used to it's Andy and Hedia. It's still the Andy Falco show with Hedia.
Yeah, you're this my chick. Guest. You're my guest.
With my guest, my permanent guest, like that really annoying guest that never leaves. Oh my God, are you still here? Yes, I'm still
well,
here.
If you want more of the shenanigans, go to livingfearlessdevotional.com. That's where you'll find our audio podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can go there, give it 5 stars, tell people how much you like it and how much you love God's word coming through the devotionals that we're reading.
And our realism.
Yes.
We're just two ordinary folk.
Yes. Once you do that, then you can go to whatever podcasting platform that you listen to your podcast on, like Spotify, iHeartRadio. We're on all those. So feel free to do that. Not feel free. I need you to do it. Don't feel free. Do it. Dang it. This is a wow. I felt like Nancy Pelosi for a second. I was a tyrant. All right. Let's get rid of this thing. We're going to jump right into the devotional and we'll get into some other shenanigans here.
You're so far away.
I'm sorry. Shenanigans. All right. We're reading from Smith Wigglesworth. And I am actually beginning to really like good old Smith. I can't get over that's his first name, though. And the title of this one is In Perfect Harmony. Now, when you said it this morning, I thought you meant imperfect harmony.
Like imperfect, yeah. Like not perfect.
Yes.
Oh.
And then I went and looked at it. Oh, I'm glad I looked again just to make sure. But it's In Perfect Harmony. Give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. 2 Corinthians 6:3. The scripture reading is going to be 2 Corinthians 13:4-12. If you being a member of a certain church are in a place where you would rather see one person saved at your church than two people saved at another church, then you are altogether wrong and you need to be saved. You are still out of the order of the Spirit of God and you are a stranger to true holy life with God. God wants to show us that we must so live in the Spirit that the ministry is not blamed. If your ministry is not to be blamed, how can you help to prevent it from being blamed? You have to live in love. See it that you never say or do anything that would interfere with the work of the Lord. Rather, live in the place where you are helping everybody, lifting everybody, and causing everybody to come into perfect harmony. Remember, there is always a blessing where there is harmony. One accord is the keynote of the victory that is going to come to us all the time. There are thousands and thousands of different churches, but they are all in the Spirit to the extent that they receive the life of Christ. If there is any division, it is always outside of the Spirit. The spiritual life in the believer never has known dissension. Because where the Spirit has perfect liberty, there is total agreement, and there is no schism in the body. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. When there is division, it is only because people choose the letter instead of the Spirit. If we are in the Spirit, we will have life. If we are in the Spirit, we will love everybody. If we are in the Spirit, there will be no division. There will be perfect harmony. The thought for the day, more grace means more death to self. More life means more submission. More revelation means more humility. Wow. Oh, hold on. My mouse is not cooperating. There we go. I got even a little bit more that time reading it.
Good. That's usually what happens, right?
I know.
So can I start? No.
I hope you don't take my thought.
No, I don't think so, because my thought's a little out there.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I want to hear this.
Okay, so I called your attention to the thing that struck me again in this one, where Smith Wigglesworth says, see to it that you never do anything to disrupt somebody on their path, or however he puts it. And I thought to myself, like, all of his advice in this is hard standards. Live in love. Always live in the Spirit. Don't do anything to affect the ministry. And I just realized, I'm sorry, folks, but I'm going to get a little real.
Okay.
That I know why people say Christians are hypocrites. Because Christ's standard is so high And when we want to tell others about his standard, we have to raise it to that level. But none of us lives up to that. I know I'm not. I don't know how many other people do. Yeah. But was Smith Wigglesworth living up to the things that he says? Like, never do anything that friends. Like, did he never yell at his kids? Did he never, like, offend a neighbor? Or, you know, so it's to me that's a strange, it's kind of a strange paradox of the Christian life.
Well, that's why we say that the worst thing about the church is that it contains people.
Right. You know what I mean? But yet we spew out of our mouths these very lofty, oh my God, we are love and we're redeemed and we're whole and we're resurrected. Oh, yes, all those things, but we're still in fleshly bodies that for the most part suck.
Right.
But nobody ever talks about that part. Everybody only talks about all of the amazing things that happen when you're in the resurrected body.
It's like spraying Lysol on top of dog poop.
Yeah, a little bit.
I don't know why that came to me just now.
There you go.
It's like, well, we'll just cover all that up.
Right? And it's just a little, I don't know, it's just extraordinary to me how we have these very, very lofty standards. And we talk about them, you know, that's what we preach. That's what we bring others to Christ with. And yet there's such difficult ideals for us to live up to.
Right.
I don't know. Please comment, folks. If you're finding it much easier than me to live up to, I'd love to know that.
Oh, just to kind of piggyback on what you were just saying, it is funny that, you know, you and I can do a devotional like this. And then I can get off and try to do something with a computer, and the computer's like not cooperating. I go, that freaking computer. And I get into, like, you know, like bad words.
You? Bad words?
Well, I'm talking about myself, but, you know, other people. I'm just using myself as an example.
Right.
I just go, whatever. You know what I mean? I mean, yes. How quickly we can switch. How quickly that can change. I talked about this a lot. I do it less now, but... I remember when I was in my other life and at the church,
the other body
with somebody else, and that you could have this holy, you know,
facade
connection to maybe the message and say, oh, speaking to me, I'm going to take that home with me. And then you get in the car, what? Shut. And then you're fighting all the way home. Like, what the heck happened to the message you just heard? Like, you didn't take that away with you. Oh my gosh. But, I can tell that I have become closer to God. I can tell that I have been transformed. Because there is definitely less of that in my life.
Well, it's like, it's almost like,
but I'm not perfect. I mean, right? He's calling you to be perfect.
Well, like, it's like the movies where there's that beam of light. That's, you know, the swirling light. Mm-hmm. And you know, like in the superhero movies, you know, it's in you.
Yeah.
So that thing is in there and it's swirling around, but it just hasn't gotten to the point where it's reached the surface. Or every now and then it comes to the surface and like, shines through and then it goes back in again. So I don't know. I just find that, look, Dale Gerard says the old man never leaves.
Well, I'm going to tell you something about old Dale there in just one second, but first of all, say hi to Deborah. Nice.
Hi, Deborah.
Wishing you an incredible weekend also.
Yes.
And Dale Gerard. Oh my gosh. What I could tell you about Dale. Maybe I should save it.
Yeah, I'm going to keep not gonna say anything like.
No, I'll tell you something. And you're going to go, oh my gosh, you're going to totally believe it. But Dale, I'm so happy that you're here. How are you doing? What have you been doing? I hope you're well. I hope you're healthy. But a great, great guy. Just a super guy. We were in No Regrets together.
Oh, that, nice.
It's an 8-month program where you can't miss more than 3 days or you're
out. Right. Which I've heard a lot about.
Yeah, I'll tell. He knows what I'm talking about because we've shared this several times. It's a little bit of our testimony together. I'm glad to hear that. Dale says that he's fine. Sorry, I got distracted by a guest that's not normally on. So what I want to talk about the devotional really quick before I get into that is there's two things. Yesterday, you and I went to a friend's house, your friend's house.
Yes.
And then Mariama.
Mariama.
Has been on before with us. And we went to her house because on Friday nights, you say, is it every week that they host
a gathering?
Home church. And I didn't feel that well yesterday. I didn't really share that much with you before we left. I was fighting it, and I didn't want to disappoint anybody by saying, I'm too sick, I can't go. I just, like, I didn't feel well at all. And so I got in the car, and then halfway there, I had to go pee so bad. All of you know that I have had surgery on my prostate for cancer. So when I have to go pee, I got to go pee.
Yes.
And so there was all this going on, and we get there, and it was awesome.
Oh,
it was awesome.
And I
probably can't get into all the different stuff that happened there, but just a couple of things is just the people were so diverse.
Yes.
Right. Just from every ethnic background, economic background, I'm guessing ages from 18 years old to
75
at least. Yes. oh my gosh, the music, the worship, the two singers that were there with the guitars, the one guy from Hawaii, an outstanding singer, I'm getting chills thinking about it.
Oh.
And I just want to thank you for introducing me to your friends. I mean, that was really awesome. We prayed over each other. They prayed over us as a couple. And what this has to do with the devotional is that we can have this kind of connection in Holy Spirit and want people to come to Christ. We were hoping that the 18-year-old who, he seems to have a pretty good handle on things because
he's struggling with the enemy, I think.
Right, yes.
Sin and temptation. And
just my love for him and hope that he just continues with this you know, life with God.
Yes, can you imagine trying to display righteousness when you were 19?
No, 18, 19, no. But you take that, and then we go to a church on Sundays. One service has 3,000 people just in the sanctuary, and another probably 2,000 or 3,000 out in the overflow. And then I have that same feeling of just, I want people to know God.
Oh,
I want people to be saved. And then we even pray for Gavin Newsom.
Yes.
And so in regard to the devotional, I'm feeling that at least we have, you and I and myself and you individually have a handle on that. We just want people to be saved. We don't care if it's in our church. We don't care if it's in somebody's home.
Oh, for sure.
We don't mind, the complexities of people's lives. I mean, we don't mind is not the word I was looking for. We don't get caught up.
Right.
And, you know, socioeconomics, their ethnic background, none of that kind of stuff. It's never, it's because we hear these things constantly about, you know, Christians are racist or they're homophobes and that kind of stuff. We don't see that.
I can understand how maybe in some churches that happens when they're homogeneous. You know, they're in certain towns and places where there's only one ethnicity and
homogeneous. That's an awesome word.
Oh, I was like, is something wrong with the word? Homogeneous?
No, I can't tell you the last time I heard homogeneous.
Oh, he makes fun of me like that.
I don't. I'm not making fun of you. I'm just like going, oh my gosh, I could have never. I would have had
my big bird word.
I would have had to go to a thesaurus and known what I wanted to say in order to come up with homogeneous. But this stuff just kind of just pops off your head. That's it. It's not making fun. It's like. So awesome. Oh, go ahead, continue. Boy.
And so the diversity is amazing when you're in a spirit-filled church. And when that happens to us, with 3,000 people, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. Mm. I was so honored. My pastor posted my article on all his social media yesterday. I felt so important. But the other thing I wanted to say about last night is my friend Mariama is a former Somali. And if you know anything about Somalis, they're very similar to Afghans. There are no Christians among Somalis. There are Kenyans that are Christians, but not Somalis unless they convert, risk their lives, subject themselves to exile from their families, as Mariama has had. She doesn't keep contact with much of her family anymore.
Wow.
But what's so beautiful to me, we share churches in common, you know, like food, because comfort from some, we give up so much, and so much of our life are that when we're not time together, we get to enjoy like things that are unique to many of our world. So I just wanted to encourage people to reach out to others that may be culturally different than you or learning the traditions of people from different places and experiencing the different culture. Because I made Andy eat some of the beans and rice. I was like, it's not Mexican beans and rice, it's African beans and rice. And it's just an all around cool experience.
Yes.
And I wanted to say hi to Carla.
Yes.
Who I apparently just found you looking for your testimony to share with a Muslim friend. Thank you, Carla. Actually, most of my testimony, I have tons of stuff on my website. So it is resurrectministry.com. And you're welcome to message me. You can private message me too. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Awesome. So the other part of the devotional is the last part where it talks about the letter kills, but the spirit gives life.
Yes.
When there is division, it is only because people choose the letter instead of the spirit. If we are in the spirit, we will have life. If we are in the spirit, we will love everybody. If we are in the spirit, there will be no division. There will be perfect harmony.
There you go.
What is so interesting about that is that in the police academy, we are taught about the difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. And that we have discernment and we have the ability to, when we pull somebody over, that if they were speeding, for instance, you know, they were speeding, you know, they're doing 65 and a 35.
Yes.
That's a little fast. Let's bring it down. 50 and a 35. 65 is a little reckless. I might have to give them a ticket, but, you know, just going, you know, a little bit over five to 10 miles per hour with speed limit and you pull them over. Now, the letter of the law is that you get their license and their insurance and you go back to your car and you write them up.
Yes.
Right? That's the letter of law. The spirit of law is you go up there and you say, hey, listen, you know, it's 35 in the zone. Oh, I'm so sorry, officer. I didn't know. Or I was distracted. You know, I was thinking about, you know, this argument I had with my wife and I'm sorry. People will do that, which is amazing. So the spirit of the law is that, hey, you stop them. You ask them to slow down and you're able to get them to think about what was happening. And then you have a good interaction between the person, the driver and law enforcement that probably is better than giving them a ticket.
Oh,
so you have a longer lesson. So in the spirit, when I'm reading this devotional, that is that when you can do that as law enforcement, that is probably even better than giving them a ticket. And that's the most important thing as a police officer that I learned is that where is it that you can make a good interaction between law enforcement and a suspect or a driver and give them that grace to that will carry further than a fine or jail when you can do it. Like a murder, obviously you just arrest them and they go away. Not,
yes.
Not in New York or Los Angeles.
No. But this is exactly,
yes,
right. So this is the analogy to Christians. Right?
Yes.
I love that. Do not do anything to cause offense that the ministry shall be blamed.
Right.
You're so clever.
So you want that person to go away. Go, well, cops aren't all that bad. Right. They're not. They'll go back and tell somebody and they'll say, you know, I got pulled over today.
Yeah.
I acknowledged that what I was doing was wrong and I apologized and the officer let me go. And they go, what? What? How is that possible? And that's what's important about the spirit of law, the spirit of the Bible, same thing. Like there's some really strong things in the Bible, right?
Yeah.
Like cut out, you know, poke out your eye, cut off your hand.
You can't stop sinning. Yes.
All right. That's the letter, but let's just, how about this? How about we not just steal? And we'll think about that. Maybe give some grace once in a while, some forgiveness.
Well, yeah.
And teach them about the Bible. Like, I'm not going to cut your hand off today. Let me read you some scripture.
We all say with grace through that come by faith.
Does that make any sense at
absolutely.
All?
Absolutely.
Am I off my rocker?
No, absolutely.
Oh, very
that,
good.
I think that's his whole theme in this devotional, which is just be in love, be in the spirit, and people will be attracted to that, and you will not earn God's displeasure by bringing ill repute on the ministry. Like, you're not going to bring criticism on the church because you were just a miserable person.
Well, we see some of those miserable people that are commenting on your article.
Yes.
You got an email from somebody.
I got an email. Somebody actually went to the trouble.
So first, let's make that a Christian Post. com. You write for the Christian Post.
Yes.
You had an article in regard to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo came, and you took from his message something that you could pass on about faith in everything you do.
Yes.
Basically.
Faith in the public square.
Faith in the public square. And so from that article, somebody found it necessary to write you an email.
Yes.
And what do you want to
get? It's a nasty email. I mean, it's one thing to write nasty things on the website in comments in response to the article. That we've just gotten used to not reading them. But when they send me an email, it's a little harder to know that it's going to be nasty and not to read it. Mm. But it's par for the course. I mean, when I first started, I was a Muslim. And when I first started fighting extremism and becoming very publicly outspoken, I got horrible messages. I mean, horrible messages. Mm. Some of them would make me cry. They were so bad. So I've been here before. I've been through the battle before. And now as a soldier of Christ, I have that much more in terms of resources. But it still hurts. Mm. Still hurts. What can I do? Put on my full armor.
Let me tell you a little bit about Del. So Del Gerard, if he's still on, he and I, we were members of Friends Church in Yorba Linda. They had a program called Men with No Regrets. It's a program, I can't remember the gentleman's name. He created it. He's in some other state. And it's a 8-month program. And when you go, it's every Thursday night. I think it was every Thursday night. You go and it's in the evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, something like that. And say you start with 50 men, you get broken up into tables of somewhere around 8.
Typical.
Right. And for a week, you're together, and a week or 2 weeks, I can't remember. You then switch. They then put names on a thing and they switch you around. So every couple of weeks, you change the group of men that you sit with. For that 8-month period of time. Well, in the very early stages, is it 8 weeks? Oh, wow. All right. My memory is going, apparently. And so when you join in, you know, the very first couple of days, you tell everybody about yourself. You kind of stand up and say, hi, my name's Andy, and I'm a horrible, nasty person. And
my
I know nothing about the Bible. And I'm here to learn. And that's basically what I said. I may have went on a little bit longer. But Del gets up and he's a little bit of an angry guy on that first day. And I love that he's not here to counteract what I say.
Oh, really?
But he may on there. But and I think some of the reason, and Del, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it was it'd be like a...
So he literally was angry? Or are you making a joke?
No, he was angry.
Oh, okay. Did his mommy drop him off there? Make him go?
Oh, and he's this tall guy, African American, you know, just a tall, like really, like, and just a big man. And so he fills the room, like he's got his arms crossed, and he's like, you can tell, like, that he knows stuff, right? And he's, I think he starts off saying, I don't really even know why I'm here. I'm not sure exactly what he said, but it was like, I don't know. I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to give you guys a chance. Like kind of like feeling, because he knows the Bible backwards and forwards.
Wow.
And it's like Greg LeMond, you know, racing a bunch of kids on tricycles.
Oh,
like he's like just so far beyond in his understanding and knowledge of the Bible that he's with a bunch of like he's with plumbers and police officers.
Those
and,
are the kind of people you want. I know,
but he wasn't happy.
He didn't want to be that one.
So you've done that. You've been in groups of people where you're kind of picking out who you can like, that guy. What's going on with what's going on with that guy? Like, right. I'm gonna make sure hopefully not get a table with him or her.
Right.
Right. And so time goes on and then months go down the road and we begin to connect and all of us begin to connect. And then I have an opportunity to they ask me to teach the class to go up there and teach on a day. And
the guy who stood up and said, I know nothing about the Bible.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because I studied.
What discernment?
I studied and I began to know. I got into it. And I go, wow, this is really cool. And I began to learn stuff. And I was like, it was taking stuff away. You know, I talk about my walk. Last night, I mentioned, I don't know where it came from, but I said, you know, I spent a lot of time walking around the church, but not a lot of time walking with God. But there was moments that I had, you know, I gained knowledge. Up. But I still wasn't walking about that. And so I got up there and I started kind of talking about some of the people. And I said, and then there's Dale. You know, Dale, I didn't like you. I mean, this friend of mine, I didn't like you at all. I thought you were a horrible person. I go, but I love you. I really love you. I love the fact that I didn't like you in the beginning and that I came around, and you have just been so helpful and such a mentor to me. Because anytime he got up and spoke, because he loosened up as time went on.
Yeah.
And he, but he's got this voice and he goes, in 2 Corinthians 5:9, and he rah, 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 and he like just goes on, and every guy going, huh? And he doesn't even have the Bible open. And I'm going, I go, someday I want to grow up to be just like him.
Oh,
and awesome. Anyway, we ended up being really good friends. And although we haven't talked in a while, it was, that was, he like looked at me like, I can't believe he just said he didn't like me.
That would have been your reaction if somebody did that.
Everybody forget fell on the floor. Everybody fell on the floor because I don't think I was the only one.
Yeah.
Everybody go, oh my gosh, Andy just said that out loud to everybody. But it was amazing. And that is the great thing about doing church together. We're not supposed to do church alone.
No.
This is a group. We felt it last night in this. People I didn't even know laying hands on me and vibrating and praying. And somebody said I had a hard head. Like, how did you know I had a hard head? How did she know that?
She texted me this morning. She's like, I hope he's not offended.
Oh, not offended at all. I just love it. I want to know how she knew. Yeah. I got it. She's
same
on point.
Radio station.
But it's the gathering. It's a great club to be a part of. That you could walk into a home and you know each other.
Yeah.
You don't know anybody, but you know each other. You know what I mean? You can connect and don't mind, and you give each other a hug, or you give each other a high five, or pray over somebody. Some people put hands on your heads. Like, I don't let anybody touch my face. Like, you touch my face, I'm gonna smack you. And yet I have people doing that. You know what I mean?
Yes,
am I coming
absolutely.
Across here? And so the thing with Dell, I think that the thing that Dell that connects with this devotional, and that he happens to be on today, is that that's what's great about faith, is that when you begin sharing as God wants us to share, regardless of who the other person is, again, no matter what status, I hate even use that word, it doesn't matter. In God's light, in God's world, we're all the same.
Well, so my question for Dell is, did you know what an impression you made on Andy? Yeah,
oh, for sure.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah.
He wasn't what? What did I say? I want to know what that was. Well, he wasn't.
He wasn't. I can't remember what that was in response to. Were you embarrassed or were you surprised? Something about what you were saying to the group. Yes, he knew. Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
I love that. Not a lot of people make an impression on Andy. So that's saying a lot.
There were good ones. There were in the group of 50 people, there were two. Dell was one of them.
I love that.
Now, there were a couple. But I think Dell, probably my favorite connection in that group.
Oh.
There are a couple of the Bobs and some other guys that I think were. I mean, I loved them all. I mean, I'm not trying to say that I didn't like anybody. I'm just saying the connection I was most happy about, or that has lasted with me, was the one with Dell.
He wasn't the. Dell says he wasn't the only one that had issues with me. Yeah, no, I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about that he saw you as a mentor and he learned so much from you.
Yes.
That's just awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. But it's so funny that he happened to join this devotional. Go ahead. Can you read that? From Dell?
The truth is this. I told everyone the first day that of the 60 plus men, they were too weak to handle me and tell me anything to get me to do anything. I said that on day one.
Yes, I told you.
That is awesome. I love that.
It was at the end, everyone.
Well, because
at the end, everyone was so awesome to me, Dell said.
Well, I would like to call this back to the devotional because I think that's exactly what Smith is telling us. He's like, rise to the occasion. I think what Dell did is he challenged all the men to rise to the occasion, to be able to handle it, hear the tough message, learn the truth of the gospel, and not pretend to do church, but truly try to understand the scripture and walk in Christ as like a follower of Christ. Mm. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And do not just try to do church, the barbecues and the amen. I'm glad because that is, I think that's exactly what Smith is trying to teach us. is that walk in the Spirit, love with all your heart, do not make people ashamed of the gospel of Christ or of the ministry of God.
And Del says, especially with men, because we tend to hide.
Yes.
And so I, if I'm remembering correctly, I think at the end, again, we have an opportunity to kind of stand up and say what we got out of the 8 months
the 8 weeks.
It's 8 months.
He said it's 8 weeks.
No, I think he meant that we changed every 8 weeks.
Oh.
That was a long time. It was a long time not to miss three. I know it was more than 8 weeks. It was a long 3 years. Anyway, Adele got the chance. And I wish we could have taken a photograph of day one, what everybody looked like when they came in here, like, you know, hands in their pockets, you know, not
right.
And then the glow and the excitement and the love everybody had for one another, that Dell's, you know, I'm going to give you all a chance. And I don't know that I'm going to make it the entire time. Like, right. I think there was a period of time where at the beginning, he thought, well, I'm just going to be here for, this may be my only night. I don't even think that he thought he was going to make it through the one night, because it's like a 2 hours that you have to be there. Like, you walked in thinking, well, I'm going to walk in and I'll stay if not. So he was lucky to make it past the first 30 minutes.
I love it.
But in the end, it was just a connection and this love for all, you know, all of the men that were there. That was probably one of my favorite times prior to where we are now. That was my best time with God, was with those men. It was pretty awesome.
Fantastic.
So your article came out, that we just talked about in Christian Post. So make sure and look at that. It's an important one. And we talked about your Afghanistan article.
Yes.
And I knew, and I told you,
yes.
I said, you are going to get a lot of response from this, even though the comments weren't coming through.
Like, yes.
You know, what could people say? It was the truth. And there was like really nobody able to say anything but positive about that article. And I said, I don't know. This article is going to get you noticed. And it has. You have been on 10, radio interviews, podcast type of things. And then you wrote this article. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I think this one's even better. I can't wait to see what happens from this article. And I know that it's good because, like you said, Pastor Jack has posted it all over his social media. And
I love that. Such
and
an honor.
You know who reads his social media? Everybody. I mean, everybody from former President Trump to Mike Pompeo to all the people in Washington. I mean, people are going to read this article because of what Jack has done for you. It's important to have people like Jack post stuff, not for you, but for the glory of God. God gets Amen. To see how his church is moved from messages that come from his church, God's church, not Jack's church, God's
Amen.
Church. And what that message that spoke to you and what it caused you to write and what God gave you as the message that he wanted.
I love that kind of ripple domino effect of connections, relationships, and how it spreads messages. And when you think about, we're in the book of Romans and the Apostle Paul talks about how he's been shipwrecked and striped and stoned and all of the world that he traveled on foot or on a small canoe or boat of some sort. You know, it's just amazing. Now we have all of this technology and messages go throughout the earth. And that's one of the things actually a lot of the radio stations wanted to hear about in Afghanistan was the gospel going forward in Afghanistan, because that was the most impressive outcome, the education of women and girls, but also the gospel.
Yeah.
A country that's 99.8% Muslim.
You know what's cool? I just thought of this. You were upset that you didn't put enough or if any scripture in that article. You were going, oh, I didn't put it. And like you were beating yourself up for a couple of days. These radio interviews give you the opportunity to bring in some gospel, you know, some message from the Bible that you weren't able to do in the article.
It so really was. Cool. It was really awesome.
Cool. In regard to my remark that Men With No Regrets and With These Men was one of my far most favorite things prior to where I am now with Christ, was the most fantastic time. Adele responded by saying it was his as well.
Aww.
And again, that's the important message that we started, both of us. I started off by saying, I don't even know why I'm here. I mean, I wanted to be there. I'm the one who signed up. My wife didn't do it for me. You know, some men, you know, their wife signed them up. Hey, you need to go to this. I wanted to go because I felt like I felt moved to go. But I knew that I was scared because I knew nothing. Like, are they going to ask me like to recite Genesis 4:9-3? Right? You did have to do some memorization too.
Nice.
That was not that good. I don't know that I ever was able to stand up.
You get little cheat sheets, little index cards.
No, I had to read it. What the heck? It was it just was transformational. I think that it definitely helped continue my path. It still pushed me along. Again, I spent a lot of time walking around the church, but not a lot of time walking with God. And so it was it kept me there to be where I am here sitting with you today.
Yes.
In a whole different place than I was there. So it was awesome. All right. Anything else on the devotional before we skedaddle? I'm so happy that Del joined.
Thank you, Del.
Made my day. It's so awesome. The response to he did too is, shoot, I'm so sorry. There's a delay. So when I'm speaking and then it comes across, it's probably about something else. But dang, I wish I knew what those response to. But anything else on the devotional?
I think
that's the scripture. The scripture is really long. I would definitely read 2 Corinthians 13. What is
4 to 12.
Oh, yeah. That one. Definitely read that. Anytime you read the Bible, it's amazing.
It's true.
Yeah, it's just so, because there's like, how did they know 2,000, 3,000, whatever, how many thousand years ago? How is that still applicable today? There's stuff in there, like the letter of the law and the spirit of the law.
It's God's word, inerrant, everlasting, ever-living.
It's such good stuff. Who knew that what was in the Bible? I'm learning today for the first time that the spirit and the letter is biblical.
That expression, right?
Yes.
I definitely didn't know it when I went through law school. It's a common, we thought, an American expression.
Yeah, I can't. Del says that we're going to connect. I cannot wait till you meet Del and you go, oh my gosh, you're exactly how Andy described you.
He walks
in the room and he's a giant and he's got scripture coming out of his ears.
Oh,
it just like falls out.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's amazing.
What a great quality.
All right, my friends, we love you guys. Thank you for watching. Thanks for joining us. And the new people, Dale, that I've known, and then
Carla,
thank you for joining us.
Thank you for joining us. Hope you'll continue
to join us. Please share our devotional. We would really appreciate it. Please subscribe to the podcast by going to the link that I gave you in the beginning.
Oh, and I wanted to thank Deborah. She called me. She mentioned being a great writer.
Oh, so Deborah.
We
got caught up in the new people.
He got caught up in Dell going down memory lane. We love you, Deborah. Thank you.
We love all of you that we're watching, yes. Even those of you that don't comment. I'm telling you, you got to comment and say hi. We appreciate it, especially if you're watching the replay. All right, my friends, we love you.
Bye.
God bless.
God bless you.